joined us online, you may have felt dead today, but I want to tell you, this is the day that dead things come alive, right? You didn't walk into a dead church today. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. If you believe that, give them a shout today, church. Give them a shout. You can just see it in the Gospels as you read. As various people would go to the tomb. A couple ladies first. To go summon the men. And when they started to realize that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore, and there is these burial cloths, right? That they would wrap the dead bodies in. And you've heard the story, you read it in scripture, but the burial cloth on Jesus' face was folded and set aside, the scripture says. And I grew up hearing the story that that meant because of an ancient Jewish tradition that if you're at a meal and you crumple up your napkin, you lay it on the plate, that means I'm done. And if you folded up the napkin and left it there, that means I'm coming back. That was good. I'm coming back. I'm not so sure that's accurate, folks, because, you know, first century Jewish tradition, it really didn't say it like that. But here's what I know. See, it was all about the presence of God. It was about his presence. So when it got into an empty tomb, we celebrate an absence, right? He's not there. He's risen. That's okay. But that's not what the napkin, pardon me, not the napkin, but the burial cloth. I don't think that's what it meant. I think what it means is my presence is here forever. Amen. That's what I think. I think my presence is here. You come to an empty tomb, and that's a representation that I have rose from the dead. But I think when he laid that burial cloth there, and he folded it up and he pushed it to the side, it was for them to see it. I'm not going anywhere. I've risen from the dead. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Church, we walked in here today, and I know that many of us are carrying something on this Easter Sunday. We still got up. We came into a service. We turned online. You know, we're coming in and we're getting together on Easter Sunday. Dead things still come alive. Dead things still come alive. Dead things still come alive. Right? In the name of Jesus. Jesus didn't do all that. It was a rescue plan. It was all about the rescue plan, which you'll hear about here in a few minutes. He set a rescue plan. He put this plan together to rescue you and I. God's plan of rescue. You were worth it. You were worth a rescue. God sent it. The Bible says, I sent my best. My very best. His very best. Somebody got to say very best this morning. Very best. He sent his best. It's about presence. And I don't believe for one second, folks, that we come into a Easter celebration service with only a memory. Of only a memory. I'm not living on just a memory today. I want to live on a movement today. The church was about a movement, not just the memory. The rescue was the memory of the risen Savior, but I tell you what, it launched a movement called the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. Give them praise today, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a movement. And you can either decide to be part of that movement, or you can decide, I don't want anything to do with the movement, but I tell you what, it's a movement. For those that call Cross Point Church home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Each Sunday, the movement is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because dead things come alive. Yes, sir. Dead things come alive today. Church, raise your hands to heaven and let's go to heaven and say, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that dead things come alive. In Jesus' name, Father God, I pray. For those who walked into this sanctuary, that tuned online to the broadcast ministry, Lord God, I pray that this is their day. That they didn't come here by accident. They didn't turn on a device by accident. They didn't go to their YouTube page by accident, Lord. I believe, Lord God, today is their day. I believe today, Lord God, that dead things come alive because your presence is bigger than the absence. Amen. Lord God, I want your presence today, Lord God. You launched a presence. And Lord God, we believe that the King is in the room. We thank you for that. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Church, give Jesus a shout today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look with somebody, grab somebody next to you and say, I'm here for presence today. I want his presence. Anybody? Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Easter Sunday. If Easter Sunday doesn't get you alive, we don't have anything for you. Good morning, I am Pastor Brad Myers. I have the privilege, just like Pastor Mike talks about, to serve here as your lead pastor. And it has been an exciting trip for us, has it not? Amen. We have just been, dead things are coming alive in our church, right? Amen. What a great day to be in God's house today. I so appreciate you coming in today, and if you're watching on the broadcast ministry, you know if you're around here, we have quite a robust broadcast ministry going on, and we're so blessed by that. We are just so thrilled that you decided to come in here today, and I have not seen some of you for a while. I know some of you are out sick, and thank you so much for coming back and getting healthy, right? Isn't it good to be healthy? Amen. Yeah, it's good to be healthy, right? So thank you so much. Wow, I tell you what. Something happened yesterday, folks, on that Saturday. You know, Nicole and I were, speaking of Nicole, right? Thank you, Pastor Mike, for announcing that Mother's Day is coming up from Pastor Nicole. The place will have to have 4 services on Mother's Day. We know that by now. We have to do about 4 services just to accommodate all the people that come in to hear the real preacher of the house, right? Right? Boy, am I building that up big enough, right? Right? She started her message in 2022 to preach in 2025, right? It'll be a great day on Mother's Day. You want to be here for Mother's Day, right? What a great day. Hey, folks, welcome again. We're going to be going through the final message of a series that we have been talking about here for weeks. It's called Rescue. Now, I don't know about you, but your pastor's been rescued. I pray that you've been rescued too. I just want to be rescued every single day. Just continue to rescue me, right? We talked about that. We're diving into that. Thank you so much. Facebook, YouTube, the podcast, the online campus that's watching. Thank you again. Hey, if you want to follow along, you can scan the QR code for the sermon notes in the bulletin today. You can see the notes online. I think they may throw it up there. You can do that right off your bulletin. If you grab the bulletin, you can follow along. Now, I can't say I'll always stick to notes, but they'll be there for you in the weeks in months to come if you want to go back and take a look. So we're in the Easter Rescue Series. The Easter Rescue Series. What does rescue mean? It's the process of getting rescued, right? Little review here if you haven't been here for a few weeks. Little review. You know, rescue and rescued we've been talking about, right? Rescued is the process of being saved. I got rescued. The rescue is the plan to get you saved. Now, we might not be just talking spiritually. We may be talking some other situation that happened that you need a rescue, right? And we've been talking about that. The first week, we talked about the plan. In the Garden of Eden, Eve sinned. And then she begged Adam to sin with her, right? It's kind of how, that's what happened. Hey, this is really good. And the second that happened, God's plan of rescue was initiated. It was triggered. And then God himself shows up in the garden. And the Bible says he went looking for them to rescue them. He didn't come in to chastise him as much as he came in to provide an avenue of escape. And that's the rescue we've been talking about. We talked about a spiritual war is declared in the garden that day, in our week one. The offspring of the woman of Eve would conceive the rescuer, Jesus. He would be wounded, bruised, beaten, but never broken. And on Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. That is the rescuer we serve today. Last week was Palm Sunday. We talked about rescuing a nation. You know, 500 years before Jesus went to the cross, and then through Palm Sunday and all that, we talked about that. The Bible talked about, in Zechariah 9, your king is coming to you, humble, riding on a donkey. Matthew 21 says Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem 500 years later. John 12, 13, they said they had palm branches and they met him shouting Hosanna on Palm Sunday. We taught you last week that two things happened. There was a symbol and there was a shout. The symbol were the branches, a declaration of military victory. They would wave these branches. No waving because they think Jesus is coming in to give them a victory. And he did, just different. And then they shouted. They shouted, Hosanna. They were shouting. We shouted last week, did we not? We were shouting. The shout of Hosanna means hope. Hope. And on that day, folks, some things changed. When Jesus entered the city, things shifted. There was a big parade going on. There was shouting going on. There was all kinds of things going on. They were welcoming him into the city, but he was coming in for a different reason. He came in to confront and clean house. Part of the plan. It's part of the rescue. See, Jesus just doesn't come to bless us. He comes to shake us. Amen. Do we want Jesus or do we want what he does for us? Do we want presence or just things he does? Amen. I want presence. Amen. I just want the presence. God's fire follows hunger. This church is hungry. We're hungry for an outpouring of presence. Hunger defines revival. That's a change. They shouted Hosanna. They were saying, we need you. Save us, is what it means. The crowd shouted Hosanna because they were desperate. Some meant it, some didn't, but Jesus still showed up. If you were here on Good Friday, we continued with the rescue series titled Deep Rescue. In Matthew 27, when Jesus was on the cross, he made the declaration, my God, why have you forsaken me? Looking back to Psalms 22:1, written by David, three words, victory, hope, and restoration. Jesus knew there was victory. Jesus knew he was bringing hope. Jesus knew there is restoration. Jesus knew. He's going to rescue you right in the middle of your pain. It was all about love. Romans 5:8. He demonstrated that love. We talked about that Friday night. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We talked about he didn't wait for us to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for us to deserve it. Love rescued us when we were lost. And today, church, it's okay to shout in church today. I'm going to give you the license to shout because today is the ultimate rescue plan. Today is the ultimate rescue plan. Everything that you're facing today, you can be restored back to what Jesus wants you to have. You can have hope. You can have victory because of today. Amen. But it's still your choice. The ultimate rescue plan was provided. Whether we accept it or not is still our choice. Rescue, the process of being saved. Right? Rescued. I've got rescued. I'm rescued. But the plan that God put into place billions of years before. You know, there was a story. Let me tell you a couple stories today. Now, back in 2019, there's a story up in Iceland. Now, I don't expect you to know this. You could go look it up if you like. But let me give you the background of it. So there's a tour going on in Iceland. I'm not sure who goes to Iceland for tours on a bus. Right? I try to stay away from countries that start with the word ice. Right? I like to go places that says sun something, right? Like Canton, Ohio. Right? Where there's always sun. Maybe not S-U-N, but in this church, it's S-O-N. Right? Yeah, that's what we do, right? I'm okay with that. So this lady goes on this bus tour up in Iceland, 2019. And, you know, part of these tours, as you probably, many of you have been on these, right? You go stop to stop. You get to a stop, you get out, you do some sightseeing, you look around, you do your thing, get back on the bus, you go to the next place. Sounds just great, right? Sounds like the best vacation ever, right? They get to this big volcano. It's a real known thing, right? In Iceland, there's this volcano that they always make the stop. It's a big thing up in Iceland, okay? I pronounced the name for you, but I just can't pronounce it. So I'll pronounce volcano, right? It's a volcano. They make a stop there. They get off. They're looking at the volcano. You know, it's dormant, but it's kind of a cool picture, you know, like taking their pictures and stuff. So they're taking a look, right? And so they're getting everybody back together to leave to go to the next stop. But they notice something. There's a lady missing. All of a sudden, one of the ladies was lost. Can you imagine? Now, if you were on the bus and that was the lady making all the noise, you're saying, okay, hey, whatever. She's not here now, right? But you know she's not there. And so there's kind of a panic going on this bus tour. So they start to launch a party of people to go look for her. First, it was the bus. Everybody on the bus started looking. They called the authorities. It was a big thing. Hours. It was early evening when they lost touch with her, right? She was lost. Hour after hour after hour, folks, they would go and look for and 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, something happened. The lady that they were looking for was part of the search party. You think, this is true, right? She's part of the search party, right? And she realized at 3 o'clock in the morning, they are searching for her. See, when they stopped at the volcano, she went inside the restroom and changed clothes. And when she came out, they're frantic. Where is this lady? Well, they didn't recognize her. They didn't know her name. They only knew what she looked like. And she was no longer there by the clothes she had on, right? Hours and hours went by. This lady was lost, and she didn't even know it. People were looking for the lost lady that they didn't know who she was. Does that not describe some of our spiritual walk? Right? She didn't realize she was the missing person. See, the most dangerous place to be is in need of being rescued, but convinced you're just fine. You're just fine, right? You don't know what's going on. Everything's good. She's helping look for herself, and she didn't even know it, right? You can't cry for help when you don't believe you're drowning. She didn't think she was in need of a rescue. But everybody else on the bus, all the authorities, everybody there thought she was lost. And they're going to find her. And she was going to help. See, folks, Easter comes down to this. God triggered a rescue plan after Adam and Eve realized they had sinned. However, He also made that rescue plan available to anyone in the future, even before they realize they need it. Now, you just got to stop for a second and realize what's going on here. Rescue is all about saving somebody. And the plan is to put together some type of process to get them. The people on the bus were searching high and low for this lady. Think about now what I just said. God put together a plan to rescue you and I before we knew we were lost and even needed to be rescued. The plan was available before the lost took place. That's not good grammar, but I tell you what, that's really good preaching, right? Right? We didn't even know. But the plan was made available for us before we even know we needed it. Welcome to Easter 2025, the ultimate rescue plan, right? Remember, you don't cry for help when you don't think you're drowning. Like, I'm not drowning, so I'm not going to call for help. But see, God's rescue plan doesn't end. It never ends, folks. It's the ultimate plan. It's always available when you need it, and multiple times. The greatest spiritual danger, folks, is not sin, it's not brokenness, it's not failure. It's not knowing you need rescued. It's not knowing that you actually need rescued. There's people sitting here today and people watching online that have no idea they need rescued. God's rescue plan involved Jesus. The rescue plan involved Jesus. Colossians 2:15, God sets the stage, empowers the Lord Jesus Christ to disarm the powers and the authorities. I'm going to rescue somebody, but I'm not going to give them any authority against you. And how does he do that? He did it today by a risen rescuer that we celebrate today. Jesus defeated what we needed rescue from, sin and death. He defeated it before we even knew we were drowning. You just sometimes got to stop and think about that, folks. The plan was already orchestrated by heaven, and I didn't even know I needed the plan. I didn't even know I would go after it. It's always been available. I just didn't know it was there until I went to get it. When I realized that I was lost, when I realized that I was truly separated from heaven, that I wasn't serving the creator of the heavens and the earth, and I needed that plan, I needed that rescue, and we celebrate the ultimate rescue plan every Easter of every year. It's powerful what God has done for us. So let's dive in. Luke 24, 1 through 12. One of the many representations of the empty tomb. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, people getting up early, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Verse 3, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering about, suddenly two men in clothes that gleam like lightning stood there beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Isn't that just true? How many times God spoke to each and every one of us? How many times we've read something in the Bible, and it doesn't come to full fruition until something happens. And then we do it like this. I remember now. I remember when the pastor said this. I remember when my spouse told me this. I remember when God spoke to me, but I just kind of forgot about it. Now I remember. This is what's going on. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, the disciples, and to the others. All these followers, right? And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with whom they had told to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what has happened here? Trying to process everything, trying to understand it, trying to make heads and tails out of all this. Give me some water, Mike. Thanks. Can you imagine? Can you see it? Can you see that? Everything that's going on. And Peter's the one. See, death defeated, victory and hope was restored. The ultimate rescue plan was secured forever. And they're trying to figure it out. And how are we so sure today, folks, that that actually took place? How do you really know? You know, if that would happen tonight, let's just say that the resurrection happens tonight, throughout tomorrow. The first thing would happen on the 6 o'clock news, it would be all over the world. Social media would be just going crazy. Somebody would be, thank you, Pastor. Something would be going, like, it'd be everywhere. It'd be on every website. We don't know what happened. They'd be making excuses if it happened modern day. Right? Some people would say it's not true. Other people say, oh, this is, I knew about this. But it happened over 2,000 years ago. There's no news channels and social media. There was no outlets to put news stories out. There was one way of doing it. Witness account was the only way. Excuse me, right? Witness account. They couldn't do it any other way. So they would tell somebody. That's why the Bible says they went and told. They went and told. And they came running. And then they went and told. Because that's how they did it. There was no other avenue. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8. Let's talk about how they told. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. There's the writing of it down. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, it being written down. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, we'll get to that in a second, and then to the 12, so first to Peter and then to all the disciples, right? After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters of the same time. Most who are still living. Now, this is Paul writing after the fact, of course. So some are no longer with us, because he says, some are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last he appeared to me also. This is Paul. On the road to Damascus. But there's something there we may have missed about being rescued, and I want to bring it out today. Peter goes running to the tomb. He sees that Jesus is not there, right? And Paul writes about him. But he uses his other name. He uses the name Cephas on purpose. We know that that's Peter because it's the Aramaic word for Peter, which means rock. Remember, Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. The rescue plan that he showed up and looked in that tomb and saw Jesus' body not there, Paul writes about and says that rescue plan was available to Peter even though Peter denied him three times. So Paul writes about it and makes a point of it. And God allowed Peter to show up and see the rescue plan in action. And I will build my church. Right? Today, many are very much unaware that they are lost and in need. All the way to Revelation 3:17, church, it says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I don't need anything. But see, you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus writing to the church of Laodicea, one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. This is a descriptor that talks about self-perception and spiritual reality. My self-perception is I'm wealthy, I'm good. The spiritual reality is that you're not. And in the middle of those two things is a rescue. In the middle of self-perception and spiritual reality. See, a lot of us are unaware, but we're still in need. We're just unaware of it. Let me give you some examples. Think about, now you, this might hit home with some of you. This church has a Celebrate Recovery program on a Wednesday night that Pastor Mike talked about. And we've had what we call functional addicts come through the program. A functional addict, and Pastor Mike can help me on this because he leads that program with his team. A functional addict is somebody that's is addicted to some type of substance, but they can function, right? They go to work every day, or they're able to go through life. You wouldn't even know it, right? Unaware, but in need. They don't look broken, but they are. What about the overachiever that's just burned out? You may be here today on this Easter Sunday. You may be watching online. You're just an overachiever. You're so just incensed. You're so on the success train that you're so burned out. Unaware that you have a need of a rescue. Success is masking the suffering that you're going through. That could be you today. What about the marriage on the edge on this Easter? Marriage that's not what it was meant to be. Lack of communication, mistrust. Sometimes some of those marriages feel that the silence doesn't, the more there's silence, the more healing that will take place, right? Really, it's hopelessness. But see, they're unaware that they need a rescue. What about the wounded pretender, folks? You may be here today. They've buried wounds of their life so deep they think they're gone. The more they bury those wounds, the more they feel like they're separated from them and they're gone. They're unaware that they need a rescue. Because we cannot bury the wounds deep enough to separate us from them. But Jesus Christ can deliver us from them. Let me hit some people at home today. What about the comfortable, complacent Christian? Life's easy, Pastor. Bills are paid. I don't have any problems. I'm good. They're asleep spiritually. They're unaware that they need a rescue. They go through more of the emotions and the tradition than their relationship and presence. Right? We have those in church today. Unaware that they need a rescue. What about the religious that are just lost? They come to church, they sing the songs, they know the scripture. They know how to recite scripture. Many of them are better than the pastor. Spiritually lost. They have routine, but no relationship. All are unaware that they have a need to be rescued. Lost, but don't know that they're lost. People looking for them, but they don't even know they're lost. They're drowning, but they don't realize they're drowning. Other people from the shoreline see them drowning, but they do not. Church, let's talk a little about the reality of that need for the rescuer today. Let me tell you another story, can I? So here's a story for you. Back in 2016, there's a pretty well-known hiker. His name's Greg, Glacier National Park. I think it's out in, Montana, I believe. But he's a hiker. And they called him the Lone Hiker, because he would be seen going around the park a lot by himself. He would get up early on a very cool, crisp morning, and he would start out with his headphones on, and take off and go hiking and listen to his music. And it was his time to kind of separate and disconnect from reality. And many of us have those types of things, right? I'm not into hiking as much, but maybe some of you are. But whatever it is, you disconnect somehow, right? This gentleman would disconnect by hiking at the Glacier National Park. But on this particular day, he got very early, as he tended to do. And he would go out, and he would start walking on one of these hiking trails. Now, the hiking trail he was on this day could be seen by another hiking trail through a small valley. Like, there's a small valley, and there's a hiking trail over here, and he's on this one. And there's a couple hiking on the other one. Now, they could see each other, but it's a good distance. So, you know, you would have to get some binoculars out or something, but you could see. But, you know, they're kind of running parallel on this valley. Like, well, he's got headphones on. And see, this couple could notice there was some stirring over there, but they couldn't really tell what was going on. So they get the binoculars out, and they start to look over there. And what they saw with this gentleman, he had headphones on, as he's hiking, enjoying the day, a mountain lion was behind him, pursuing him and sizing him up. Now, they're across this little valley with binoculars. They can see what's going on. That the gentleman, Greg, he couldn't see anything. He didn't know what was going on behind him. And this mountain lion was pursuing him slowly. And you know what's going to happen here. Eventually, the mountain lion's going to decide to overtake him and have dinner. Maybe breakfast for that point, right? It's early. He's in immediate danger. And this couple had a cell phone. And yeah, there's service. And they called the park ranger immediately because they couldn't get to them because there was a valley and it would be too late. They called the park ranger, who immediately dispatched a rescue based on the location by this couple where they're at. And they watched the events unfold as the rangers arrived at this hiker's location just before the lion overtook him. He was rescued. And there was a quote in the local paper from him, and it reads like this: I had no idea. I would have kept walking straight into the danger, maybe even death, without ever seeing it. That is our lives, folks. That's exactly why God placed a plan of ultimate rescue for all of humanity. Because we're walking through life with headphones on, not paying attention and not understanding what's going on, and we're going through life. And the mountain lion is right there. In fact, the scripture says the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. To do what? To devour you and I. But church, there's a plan in place already. It doesn't require somebody picking up the phone. It doesn't require anything. It just requires us to recognize the fact that we may be unaware that we have a need to be rescued. See, the reality, folks, is in Romans 3:23, for everyone's sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard that God has provided. God's glorious standard that has been put in place. See, you can't receive a Savior that you don't believe you need. Church, there's real danger and deception in our personal lives as we walk each day in and day out. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Looks good, feels good, it's not good. See, people can be morally upright but spiritually lost. These are the people who say, I'm a good person, right? I'm a good person. Churchgoers but unrepentant. I attend church. I'm good. I attend church. Have we ever heard that before? I attend church. If we don't attend church, we say, I'm a good person. I do good things. I'm good. Unaware that there's a need survivors in life, but never surrendered. Oh, Pastor, I've been through so much in my life. God will have mercy on me. God understands me. He'll be good. He knows my suffering. Church, remember, the most dangerous place to be is in need of a rescue, but convinced you're just fine. See, church, there's compassion in this rescuer that we're talking about today that we celebrate. You know, there's compassion. In Luke 15, 8 through 10, let me read a story. Goes like this. See, Jesus taught in stories. How many knew that? Jesus taught in stories, right? Jesus teaches in stories. They're called parables. Jesus teaches in parables for us to understand what he means. And he takes these complex things and he kind of makes a story out of it. That's why your pastor had a couple stories today. It kind of makes it real life, right? Makes you understand a little bit more. Let me read to you one of the stories. It says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house to search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she then will call her friends and her neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I found my lost coin. In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents and comes home. They may have been unaware that there is a rescue plan in their life all along. God didn't wait until you felt lost, church. He established a rescue plan so you immediately could be rescued once you realize that you're actually lost and separated from heaven. What about the parable of the 100 sheep? I won't read it, but I'll just... The parable of the 100 sheep. There's 100 sheep, right? And one goes missing. And so the shepherd goes after the one, but he leaves the 99 to go after the lost one. And when he finds and brings it back, don't you think people would be excited? One was lost, but now they are found. Unaware that they needed a rescue, they just wandered off, but they've been brought back. You can see the elation of the rescue, the excitement when they're found. If you don't see it, let me put it in a little bit different story format for you. If you're a parent here today, and just think about your children or your grandchildren, or if you have no children, think about a friend that you're close with that has children. Wouldn't you think if one of those kids in that family went missing that they would go looking for them? And wouldn't you think that when they found that missing child, they would bring them home and there would be excitement and rejoicing? It would be just bedlam of excitement. I was lost, but now I'm found. Can you see the parent doing that? Can you see that? Of course, you can see it. It's the same excitement that the Bible talks about, that Jesus and the angels and everyone in heaven, it's the party, if I could say it like that, that happens when somebody who was unaware that they needed a rescue grabs a hold of the ultimate rescue on an Easter morning and says, I've got alcohol in my life. I've got drugs in my life. I got a bad marriage. I got bad finances. I've got all these situations. It could be so much better. I've given God so many tries and it's just not happening. It's not working out. So what is our response then, church, to this rescue plan? What's our response to the ultimate rescuer? Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is close to you, the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. On an Easter of 2025, some people walked into the worship center at Cross Point Church crushed. Some people came and watch the online broadcast, Crushed. Looking for the answer, looking for that rescuer, looking for the empty tomb. And I'm telling you, church, it's about presence, not absence. It's the presence of heaven. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life that changes you. One more story real quick. You know, I follow Dave Ramsey. How many know Dave Ramsey, right? Financial, Christian financial guru. I watch him fairly often. Yes, some things I agree with, some things I don't. Let's not go there, right? But here's what he said. I watched his testimony here recently. When he talks about in his 20s filing bankruptcy, today he's worth $250 million or $300 million, somewhere in there, right? And he teaches that concept of no debt and all that. But he gave his testimony when he says, I was unaware that I was really lost in life. Things weren't working. I was trying to get ahead. I was doing the success track, and I'm trying to move forward in life, and somebody starts talking to me about Jesus, and I'm not going to get anywhere if I don't have Jesus in my life, and I'm going to do that. And okay, fine. I'm going to go to a church. That's where I'll find Jesus, right? I'll go to a church. And he did exactly what everybody does. They come in, and they sit in the back row. Back pews, same thing I did, years ago. Just normal. He was walking into a church thinking he was going to be just blown away by the presence and the excitement that I just preached about. People that were unaware. And they were in need of this rescue plan. He's walking, I'm seeking the rescue plan. He talks about it. I'm going to go in. But he noticed something as he sat in the church years ago. No one was excited. No one was excited about the rescue plan, nor were they excited about the rescuer. And he walked out of there wondering if it's really for him. And the comment was, if they can't get excited about the rescue in their personal life, I probably don't need rescued. They're not excited. They got rescued. And I'm looking for the rescue. And unaware. One of the people I mentioned that were unaware and still in need was those complacent Christians that would sit there for year in and year out and year in and year out, and they don't shout anymore. They don't get excited anymore. They don't think there's anything to get excited about anymore. They don't think there's anything to shout about anymore. And Lord, I just go to heaven all the time and I say, Lord God, please don't let that be Cross Point Church. Let us shout. Amen. Let us be alive on Easter 2025, but not just today. Let us be alive next Sunday and the Sunday after. And the Sunday after. I don't want it just to be alive on one day, church. I want us to be alive every day. The way you do that is you go after the greatest rescue, the greatest rescuer we've ever known. Church, have you been living like you're fine? Everything's good. But deep down in, you're falling apart. You're struggling. I'm going to give you the opportunity of a lifetime. I'm going to give you the opportunity on Easter 2025 to accept the greatest rescue in the history of your world, in the history of the universe. And as Dave Ramsey testifies, when he finally accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and said, I'm not going to chase success anymore. I'm going to chase the presence of Jesus, and I'm going to be excited about it. The rest is history. He built a huge ministry with Jesus as the center. Church, I'm going to ask you before we wrap up our Easter service, if you would just bow your hearts, bow your heads, close your eyes. I know for a fact We have people in our worship center and online that are just pleading for a rescue. Some may be still unaware, but God's now tapping you on the shoulder saying, it's you. It is you. And I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm not calling you down front. You're not going to be embarrassed. We don't embarrass anybody here at Cross Point. But I would like to pray with you corporately. So if you would like to accept as your personal Lord and Savior, the greatest rescuer ever, I'm just going to ask you this morning to slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I see those hands. Just slip them up. All across the worship center. Hands throughout the worship center. Slip them up high. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to call you by name. I probably don't even know your name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Thank you very much. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you. You know, folks, I may have mentioned your situation. The hand in the back, I see it. I may have mentioned your situation earlier. You may have been the functional drug addict. You may have been the situation in the marriage. You may have been the complacent Christian, the lost religious person, or any number of other situations that you're dealing with today. If that is you, I'm going to pray with you as well. Slip your hand up. If that is you, if you're struggling with anything, that you're just saying, Pastor, I need that rescue. You just slip your hand up proud. I'm just going to pray over you corporately today. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. They're everywhere today. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Thank you. So many hands. Too many to count. Thank you. Hallelujah. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, you saw so many hands go up. It was a banner of surrender. It was a white flag saying, I need a rescue. I need the ultimate rescuer to show up in my life. And Lord God, they did exactly what I asked them to do. They surrendered to heaven. They said, I need Jesus. On an Easter Sunday, an empty tomb, I want presence today in my life. And Lord God, they took a step of faith. And they raised their hand and surrendered. Lord God, I pray right now as they have made a connection to heaven and they've reached for a rescue. Lord God, I pray that the ultimate rescuer reaches right back. And Lord God, I pray that when they leave today, they align themselves with the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, they come back to church, if not here, anywhere. Maybe they come on a Wednesday night, Lord, and they get integrated into a small group, discipled into learning more about the greatest rescue plan ever. I thank you, Lord God. Father God, for those that raise their hands struggling with one of the many or multiple things that I talked about today, whether it be the marriage or alcoholism, drug addiction, complacency in their Christian or spiritual walk, Father God, whatever that may be, there were so many hands in the worship center today, and I'm sure many online. Father God, I pray right now that your power, your rescue invades their life. Lord God, I pray that you lay out the steps that they need to take. And some of those steps, Lord God, they may be difficult, but Lord God, I pray when we look at that plan, it may look tough, but it is for our good. Lord God, I pray that today is their day. I pray, Lord God, they come and get integrated into a class to be discipled. I pray, Lord God, they seek out a program, a situation, a mentor in their life to allow them, Lord God, to get reconnected and deal with the many things that we call life. Let this day be their day for a rescue. And I thank you, Lord God. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. somebody's got to shout. There's got to be some shouting in the church today. There's got to be some shouting. Church, stand with me. Thank you for celebrating Easter with us. One final thing. Church, the presence, the King, he's in the room today. Give a shout for that King. God bless you.